If you guys may remember, we had folks come from MIT to demonstrate their text reading device, and made some improvements, I hear, over the last few months.
My name is Roy, and this is Connie.
Hi.
We have been working on a device that we call the finger reader, and the idea is for this device to help people with low vision impairments to read the printed text. A couple months ago, we were here with the first version, and we made some improvements because taking your feedback from back then, and then we also had Antonio in the lab give us some more feedback. We're trying to work through some of the problems that we've heard. So some of the feedbacks were vibrations. So the device is—it's a ring. It's something you wear on your finger. You hold it with your hand while you are scanning, and it reads the text back to you. But we used a vibration as one of the feedbacks, and we changed it to a tone feedback. So now it's an auditory thing, and we believe it's more intuitive. It would be best if we can simply show it to you working.
Sure.
And I know if someone wants to volunteer, that'd be great. I can do like the first explanation of what are the different tones and how it works. But then if someone wants to come on up and try it, that's great. We created this board that has a printed sheet of text on it. But we created these cuts in the wooden board that's beneath the sheet, so that you can feel the text with your finger. Just to train before you would use this device, before you would use it for actually reading real things, the boards with the cuts and that, so you can feel things. Basically, it's meant to kind of help in understanding how it works.
So it's teaching you tracking skills, is that what you mean?
Tracking the text without feeling it, but at first we did put these cuts in so that you would feel it and understand that the lines go like this, and then the device, if you are going to miss the line, the device is going basically to give you this tonal audio feedback. Because there's different tones that you would hear, and they mean different things, and this is exactly why we created this training board. So I will start by scanning the first line of text, and you will hear different things, and I will try to explain what's going on.
Up, break, Kansas. Prairies with Uncle Henry, who was Harvard's and M, who was the F, their S, wife, their house was small for the.
This is a sort of what the tones and the text reading sound like. So the words are read out loud as you see them, as you encounter them with your finger. And then there's two tones. There's one high-pitched tone that basically is meant to... So this is the high-pitched tone. It goes up and down. The high-pitched tone basically tells you if the line of text that's traced with the finger is if you're missing it. If you're going too low or too high, you're in the risk of missing the line, the printed line. The tone will go stronger as you go further away. There's also a low-pitched tone. That's the low pitch tone, and the low pitch tone will basically tell you if your finger is rotated, if you are not aligned with the line. So these two tones basically help. If they are quiet, that means that you are just perfect, and you are perfectly aligned with the line, and you can read it just by continuing to move your hand to the right and tracing the words in the line. But if these tones get stronger, that means that you need to adjust a little bit. I'll do it again. And there's also these bings that you hear, and I will talk about them in 1 second.
Dorothy, Dorothy, Dorothy. Live in.
Now I'm going away from the line, so the high pitch tone is coming. And when I adjust it back, it becomes quiet.
Great Kansas prairies with Uncle Henry.
So basically, it's just the matter of trying to adjust it so that they don't, these tones are quieter. There's also these two bings. There's one bing that goes off when you first see a word.
N-O-T-H-Y, Dorothy, I,
By the way, the text is from The Wizard of Oz. That's why he keep hearing Dorothy and her uncle. So there's one ring that goes off when you first see the line.
Dorothy.
It's like bing bing. And when I...
in the mist of the great Kansas prairies with Uncle Henry was.
And now the continuous binging means you've reached the end of the line, and now it's time to go and find the next line that's going to be under the line that you were at. So these are the different kind of cues that the ring, that the device will try to give you while reading. We're trying to see if these feedbacks and this kind of modality of trying to read printed text makes any sense.
Once you get used to the movement and finding the line, do those beeps go away completely?
So they're definitely optional. You can turn them on and off. Right now, these beeps are kind of important to understand what's going on. But then as soon as you get more comfortable with it, you can turn at least some of them off, or at least turn them down so that they only appear when they're really severe or something.
You're moving your finger across a piece of paper.
Yes.
Would it work on plastic? And the reason I ask is because I could see one application being, you know, people being able to read envelopes, their mail and stuff.
It doesn't discriminate between paper and other materials. It only needs that the text will be some significant size. It will not be able to read things that are really, really small. For example, or really tight together. So
how small a font could it do?
Something between a 12 point and an 18 point, that's kind of the comfort zone for the ring, for the device. But I know that medicine bottles, for example, have, you know, much smaller fonts, and they're also not sort of laid out as a magazine or a book where the text is, the words are just kind of, you know, they're not laid out so regularly. So these are things that are, that the device will sort of not be able to help with right now. We are trying to see how this thing, maybe this is not the right way to do it with tracing the line with the finger, to read a very small font or other things. Some other methods are probably better for that. But this, we believe, could be good for reading a newspaper or reading some medical information that comes in a piece of paper, a sheet of paper.
Now, have you tested it on newspapers? Because newspapers are interesting because newspapers have different columns, too, as well as...
We have not tried it with all newspapers. I do believe we tried it with one or two, you know, the MIT. But yes, there are definitely other challenges that we need to address to be able to read multi-columns. And when you encounter images while you are scanning, when the lines are very close. I know in a lot of newspapers, the lines are very close to one another, and it's sort of hard to discriminate.
Because even going across, relatively figuring that out, but going down the page, tracking that way would seem to be difficult. How has that worked out?
So right now, basically, if you would hear the first sentence in the first line, when you circle back, if you start hearing the same line, that means you need to go down a little bit.
Yeah.
And these cues will help you know that, okay, I'm going down. It's going to bing again and tell you you are in the next line. And then it will start reading the next line, and then you trace again. And it's kind of a laborious process. It takes some time and it takes some training. So it's not the best thing, but we are trying to test different methods, different feedbacks, different outputs.
When you talk about newspapers, does it have to be high contrast? Because lots of times in newspapers, with print is black and the paper is gray, or someone's already read it, you know, the papers get crinkled and they're not sharp and crisp. Have you looked at that?
So there is a problem with contrast, you're right. There's also a problem with lighting conditions. Of course, the thing will not work in the dark. It will not work with things that are really low contrast. Yes, these are problems, but it's something that we're trying to deal with. Some of the algorithms or whatever the system is trying to cope with low contrast.
Would it be hard to put a light on the device?
Actually, no. And we have done that in a previous version, and we're actually thinking about bringing it back.
Yeah, I would think that would help tremendously. Or have it auto adjust would be even better.
Yeah.
And just try to feel the cuts in the wood that are beneath the paper.
I can feel them, but I can press hard. Like,
yeah. So if you could find one of the lines.
Got one right here.
So these are horizontal grooves that go across the paper.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, it's a...
So can one of you, since you've been working with it, demonstrate how it should work?
How does it work when you do it correctly?
Yes. So what we were expecting is that those grooves would actually help you help you move. So if you stay within the groove and you just feel it with your finger, you just trace it to the right, you should be able to see to hear. The tone will not be so annoying.
Lived in the midst of the great Kansas Prairie.
It's the very first paragraph of the Wizard of Oz. So basically, what you would hear is a text reading out to you. So it will read.
Once somebody gets proficient with it, is there any way to make it faster?
Yes, we already, it's already in there. Right now it's not in that fast reading mode. Right now it's just reading the words kind of slowly and knowing a lot of the interfaces for the screen readers and the iPhone, they read very fast.
Mm-hmm. Right, have you had it where it saves what you're reading so you can read word for word, come back and read line by line on the computer?
It does save what you read. We don't have the option of reading it back, but it is saved, so... It's a matter of adding like one button, one function that will read it back to you. But it's not implemented, but we do save every word that I've written.
Jerry, try to go down a line and see if you can find the next line.
Okay. So once the tones go up, it means that...
Now if I go down...
One of the lines is empty. The last line is empty.
Okay, let me ask a question. What do you see as the application for this? There are a variety of scanners on the market today that do very well at reading a whole page. What do you see as the advantage of being able to read line for line?
So first, when we sort of asked people and went to look at these the different things that you can buy and use right now, most of them require quite a bit of time to scan the whole page. So either it's like a flatbed scanner, some kind of device where you put the page in one place and it has like an overhead camera, or you would use your phone to sort of scan the whole page. It takes roughly around a minute or up to like 3 minutes trying to scan one page of text. What this does is basically allows you to immediately start reading and also figure out if you're interested in the content and then just skip to a different part, a different page. Or you can circle back and reread what you already have read just at will instead of rescanning it or trying to locate yourself in the scanned text.
I think another big advantage is that you know exactly where that text is. If you're reviewing a form or something, and you need to have a concept visually of what it looks like, you would know where the text is on the page. And
yes,
any of us who used the Opticon years ago realized the value of that. You're actually reading it in real time rather than hearing the whole page at one time.
And you also associate the location on the page with the words that are written.
Right.
So like in forms where you have some written text, but then you have to reply, mark something.
Sign something.
Yeah.
It takes a while to get used to using it and to fit it properly. With a few minutes of trial with it will probably be frustrating, but we believe that with a little bit of training, maybe 10 or 15 minutes of training with the device, you can already start reading a little bit, to be a little bit more comfortable with it. That's why we are trying to organize a user study. So basically bringing a few people in and training with the device for 15, 20 minutes, just getting to accustomed to the feedback and what it's supposed to do, and then basically give us your opinion. Is this useful? Is this better or worse than other things? So we are trying to put together a study like that. So we wanted to ask if some people would be willing to participate. So we don't have everything planned. We sort of wanted to kind of see what would be the best thing. We could do it in our lab. Our lab is very close to the Kendall T station. It's the media lab. We are also ready to stay after, let's say, the next VIBUC meeting. Just stay here. If people want to stick around after the meeting, we could definitely stay and work with people. That could be an option.
I'm wondering whether perhaps the best thing to do would be, if you're kind of open to both those things, why don't we, I could send out your contact information, have people who are interested email you.
Yeah, that's
and set
that's
something
great.
Up. Does that work for people?
Yes.
Some people might be able to do it after the meeting, but I think if you have one device, by the time you finish training somebody and they play with it for 20 minutes, most people are not going to be able to wait around for an hour and a half till it's their turn.
Yes.
So perhaps individual sessions might make more sense.
Yeah.
Although certainly the option, some people could do it after the... Now you have one prototype, is that correct?
We have one. We are looking into building a few of them because in the end, after we did this initial study, just start trying to get people's opinions of the different tones and the way of work, we wanted to actually build around 5 or 6 of them and give them out to people to try at home once we are comfortable with the way that it works. But that will be in a later stage.
Sure.
Right now we just have the one thing. It also connects to a computer, so it's not...
For an aggregate sync.
Yeah. Any of them. We are looking into connecting this to a mobile phone, so it will be a completely mobile version.
Mm-hmm.
But this is only in the planning stage. We do have it working on
the unit itself.
It's kind of an oversized ring. It's not very big, it's not very big and not very small.
So it's connected to a computer,
right
now.
Yes.
With a USB.
It's going to be to USB.
Can you make that Bluetooth eventually?
This is what we had with the version that we had. I think we were here in Bangkok about 2 years ago.
Yes.
With the iRadio, that was wireless. That was Bluetooth.
Yeah.
The problem with Bluetooth is we couldn't get high enough bandwidth to really stream live video. Because the current version is using the live video feed from the camera, and we weren't able to get to high enough frame rate, so it wasn't we couldn't do the text reading with it.
Well, I'm thinking about applications for this. I ran a convention last weekend, and I had a bunch of printed sheets that were specifically for the people doing registration, and I had to take those, staple them together, braille a card, clip it to the right sheet so I'd know what was what. If I had something like this and it was portable and I could hook it up to my iPhone, I would just have been able to figure out what it was and hand it over without having to do a lot of extra work.
That is the idea, is to create something that is mobile, that will basically give you access to text very fast.
Yeah.
So it may not be the perfect system to read whole novels. It is intended to give access to printed text in a fast and immediate way.
Like I said, if you could use it just for sorting mail, not reading the letters,
right,
but sorting junk
yeah.
from stuff that you actually want to keep, that would be useful. But then that's the question of the font size.
Yes,
12 is pretty big.
That's
big.
Lots
of times it comes in like 8 or 10.
8 or 10 is standard.
Yeah.
I think focus is a problem with a font that small. That's the problem. I think it's really hard to get that line to be able to focus on the line straight. If it's that
I think though also what David was asking about plastic is that when you have text that's in like an envelope, like through the little
window.
There's glare lots of times you get from the plastic.
The cellophane,
So
maybe a light source that is on the device itself will kind of prevent glare from ambient light, from lights in the room, because it's more directed in line with the camera.
I get an average of 15 pieces of mail a day. I mean, it would make life a lot easier.
There are various iPhone OCR apps, but they're very, very hit and miss and haphazard in terms of helping you figure out, is this a good piece of mail or not? You know, you just hold the thing over the mail, and maybe 1 second, boom, you get it, and then maybe you wait 15, 20 seconds, and nothing happens.
Are you able to design so it takes you more than one line at a time, so that you could read a little bit smoother? That would figure, just because one narrow line is going to be...
But I think reading more than one line at a time would defeat the purpose of having this kind of a device.
Right, but if you have it reading more than one line at a time, it's going to get confused.
Well, it'd have to have an algorithm that would recognize as you go down that it's seeing the same words, and so it would repeat the same one.
My thought is that if you really want to read the whole page, you're better off using some other type of a scanner.
Yeah. Yeah, you may be right.
This is kind of an Opticon kind of like device.
Yeah. Good thing they did it a little bit portable, you know.
Yeah.
We think that with the close-range imaging, so not using the camera from 1 feet away, mm-hmm. foot away from the page, it's where it's hard to aim, hard to know if you are getting the right text, if the whole of the text is inside the frame of the camera. With a closer range, is that when you're really close up, as close as you can touch it with your finger, you're actually touching the paper. Some of these problems go away. So if you have a way of knowing that, okay, I am now hovering over text with my finger, it gives you this feedback, and then you can just scan it. This close range contact with the text will help with aiming, getting all of the text and the right text scan, instead of trying to get the whole thing at one shot with the.
How many letters is it reading at a time? Is it reading three letters, one letter?
We have had problems with very long words that get broken up, but these long words are over 15 letters long. It has no problem dealing with words that are up to 15 letters. It also depends which letters, if you have a lot of ends that are kind of wide. It just doesn't fit inside the viewing area of the camera.
What about different fonts?
We've had problems with non-serif fonts. Fonts, for instance, that the capital I is similar to the non-capital L. Mm-hmm. That's when a lot of OCR algorithms break. It's not just our own. Mm-hmm. But the serif fonts are kind of okay, because then there is a discernible difference between L's and capital I.
One of the major applications I could see for this would be like if you're in a restaurant and you're looking at a menu. But one of the problems that we're going to have is that we're not going to know what font it is,
yes.
No matter what we're looking at. So we're not going to know whether it's a font that's going to be able to read or a font that's going to have trouble with. So, you know, anything that you can do that would improve the algorithms around font recognition and variation, I think would be time well spent. It's just like with light, we're just not going
to
know.
We tried to cope with it when working with non-serif fonts. What we did is, when you have a word like hello, that it would pick up the H and the E, but then the two L's would look like capital I's or look like ones. Uh-huh. You can sort of know that if it's H E 1 1 O, it's supposed to be hello and not H E 1 1 O. We did try to cope with that, but this is research into a different domain, sort of text recognition, things that we are just using other people's work in this domain, in the domain of text recognition, trying to utilize them for our purpose. But there is work that is trying to cope with that, with dictionaries mostly. So if the word is not in the dictionary, it's mostly either close to one of the words in the dictionary or it's garbage.
You're running this on a computer.
Right now.
So right. So would you envision this eventually being run like on an Android or an iPhone or what platform?
Well, the goal is to have a mobile system, something that you can have in your pocket and just take it with you. The challenges here will be that using mobile phones means using a computer that is significantly less powerful. And we are running, real-time recognition algorithms that's supposed to give feedback in real-time. It doesn't help if there's lag. Everything has to happen really fast. But basically, just connecting the device and getting the images on the phone is something that we can do. The problem is optimizing and making sure that it's giving the right feedback at the right time, immediate feedback.
The other thing would be a better synthesizer, a better voice.
Yes. We did switch to a different voice, and we experimented with compressing the voices so that it would read faster. That's why I said that we have the option, once you are good with it, you can actually speed up the reading of the words. We don't have very nice voices, I'm sorry. This is actually the best one. if there's like a choice of like five or six, we try them all. And
do you still have a license to use the other ones in California?
Well, they take up a lot of, you have to remember, the voices take up a lot of power, depending upon what they are. That's why in the old days, people who remember something like Double Talk, which was a very low usage voice, and it wasn't, people either loved it or hated it, but I mean, essentially it took up a lot less memory and power than some of the other more complex voices.
But wouldn't you prefer to have it use one of the voices that we already have, like the Jaws Eloquence voice that's already there, or on an iPhone, have it use VoiceOver? I find more and more these apps that come out that are self-voicing, they're never as good as VoiceOver, or hardly ever as good as VoiceOver.
The problems are licensing and the right to use it in a user app. So we would create a user app, so it's not an Apple app. It's a problem with licensing and access to the APIs and different ways of invoking those voices. Right now we're using an open source voice box. That's why I guess it doesn't sound as good.
I was also wondering when I looked at it, is there a difference between a left-handed and a right-handed?
It would have to be a different room. You have to get it adjusted because it's not really symmetric. There's to hold it with your finger, with your index finger, if you have the thumb on the left. If you're right-handed, your thumb on the left. If you're a left-handed, your thumb will be on the right, and the device is not symmetric, so it's...
Can you size it? It's interesting.
It would need to be adjusted for every person.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, because this is, I mean, for my finger, this is big. Well, you know, I like, though, you have a little divot right here. Is that supposed to indicate how you hold it?
That's the
vibration motor. Oh, yeah, see, and here I'm thinking, is it something to, okay.
It's not working right now, but it's still there.
Well, I think this is great. We're excited to have you continue to develop and keep us posted, and I'll send out the email, and I'm sure we'll have some people willing to come in and test.
That's great.
Thank you.